This morning we're starting out a new series, one that's probably a little bit different than anything I've ever done before, which isn't saying much. I've been preaching for a year, so I don't get too excited here. But we're doing one on the doctrines of the church is really the sermon series. Last number of times what we do is we'll go through, you know, just an expository preaching, which you pick a passage of the scripture and you just kind of go through it verse by verse. What does this mean to us? Well, we're doing something a little bit different in that we're going to be going through the doctrines of Grace Baptist Church. And not only Grace Baptist Church, but other Baptist churches really around the nation, evangelicals is even probably the better phrase to use. At our church, we have this little book called The Constitution and Bylaws of Grace Baptist Church, St. Paul, Nebraska. If you're a member here, we hope that you've at least read it, or I guess at least have one at your house and say that you read it. I don't know. But in this, we have our doctrines, what we believe, written in this. And as the deacons were talking, and I was talking to the deacons about some kind of what direction God was leading me, and I was kind of asking for some input from them. I said, you know, you guys know the church really well, and what do we kind of think? And I was leaning this way already. In fact, I have a note still on my computer monitor to do a series on the doctrines, and they thought that would be a great idea. Just so we can, as a church family, have a basic understanding of what we believe, and even more importantly, why we believe what we believe. Because we want you to understand that when I'm up here preaching, this isn't just Pastor Bear's opinion. We want to know, what does the Bible say? I mean, who cares what Pastor Bear says? What's the Bible say, right? And so in our doctrines, that's what we want to do. And just as an aside, we did make one little observation as we summoned through this again. We asked the question ourselves, why don't we have any Bible passages in our doctrinal statement? And that's a really good question, right? And so we're actually going to change that. We're making some edits, and they tasked me with that responsibility to go ahead and find the supporting passages, which there are many. And we're going to go ahead and get those things down, and we'll bring that for you guys for approval here at some point in the near future to go ahead and just add those verses so that when you look at it, oh, there's why we believe what we believe, not just throwing some random stuff out. But anyway, we're going to be looking at that. There are several different doctrines, and Colleen is real excited because she's going to learn some big words, some new words, right? Like God, no, that's a joke. Okay. Bibliology, we're going to be studying through the doctrines. There's bibliology, ecclesiology, eschatology, pneumatology, angiology, soteriology, all those different ones. And I know you guys know exactly what I'm talking about when I say those, right? You're on board. Yeah, Pastor. No, all right. Sorry, Kalina, you're not the only one who has a bad joke this morning, okay? So we're together on this one. Today is going to be an introduction, all right? We're not going to be looking at a specific doctrine. We're going to be looking at why this series is important. We need to know why we should study this, why we should know this. Before we get started, let's do a word of prayer, and then we're going to turn right into it. God, we come to you today. Lord, we're excited to know what you're going to tell us today. And as we begin this series, God, I pray that you would move in our hearts, that you would help us as we learn about you, that you would help us as we live this in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. G.I. Joe and doctrine. Now, I know that makes perfect sense to you guys, right? You see that? Oh, Pastor, I know exactly where you're going. Okay, judging by the crickets, no. All right, so how many of you guys remember the cartoon G.I. Joe from the 1980s? Anybody? Was anybody addicted to those things? I couldn't watch one at my mom's house, but Grandma loved her grandson, and I could watch it at my grandma's house, all right? G.I. Joe, there's like 95 episodes, but in the G.I. Joe cartoon, they had some public service announcements that they did as part of their cartoons. And so, for example, one that I just watched recently to remind myself how awesome that show really was the kid who got lost at the carnival. Okay, and so what do you do when you're lost at the carnival? And G.I. Joe character Roadblock came up and gave him some tips. Here's what you do. When you're lost away from your parents, here's how to handle the situation. And at the end, the kid says, well, now I know. And the G.I. Joe character said, and knowing is half the battle. Remember that phrase? Now I know and knowing is half the battle. That is G.I. Joe. Well, as we study doctrines, that's what I want you guys to learn first, is now I know, and knowing is half the battle. We want to be a church that knows. We want to be a church that understands. And so as we go through this, hopefully at the end, you're going to be just like this kid on G.I. Joe, now I know, and knowing is half the battle. Now does it make sense? Go ahead, hear a head nod. Okay, perfect. All right, we're all on board. Good. So this is where we're starting out. This is why I'm excited about this, because I think God has something he can teach all of us in this. And I'm nervous, okay? Because let me tell you, let's pick the doctrine of bibliology, okay? The doctrine of bibliology, when I was in school, you spent 3 hours a week for 15 weeks on that one topic. And I'm supposed to do it in 35 minutes. I can talk really fast. but I can't talk that fast, okay? So we're going to do, basically what I'm telling you is it's going to be a very basic bird's eye views of these doctrines. We're not going to get very intense. We're not going to dive extremely deep in these. We just don't have the time to do that. But I do want to give you just a little basic understanding of why we believe what we believe when it comes to these different doctrines, okay? Starting out today, so in the whole mindset of the Bible, we got to know why in the world is studying the Bible important. The puppets talked about that this morning. But why is studying the Bible important? Just overarching, why is this even important to us? Why is studying the Bible important? God speaks in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Philip read it earlier. It says, all scriptures breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped with every good work. Now, before I dive in, I forgot to mention, in your bulletins, I have a fun little outline for you there. Just fill in the blanks. You guys can kind of track where we are. So if you want to follow along, grab one of those things, pencil it in. If anybody needs a pen, I don't know how would I do if anybody needs a pen because I don't have any extra. I'm sorry. I guess I'll say that. So, turn to your neighbor, I guess. But there's a little outline there that can help you follow along as we kind of track through what's going on here. And the page numbers that I have listed in the outline, those are for the pew Bibles. So if you don't have a Bible and you have the pew Bibles in front of you there in the pew, the page numbers correlate with the passage in the pew Bible. So that'll help some of us who have a hard time sometimes finding some of these books of the Bible, right? It can be difficult. So 2 Timothy 3:16. And here's what I want to focus on. Why is studying the Bible important? That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We're teaching this series. God gave us the Bible so that we can be complete, equipped for every good work. He has something for each of us to do. But we have to know first. And he wants us to be complete and thoroughly equipped so that we can handle that situation. Here's what we do. Knowing the Bible, and these are uninspired thoughts by Pastor Bear. Okay, we're going to call this Uninspired Thoughts by Pastor Bear, Part 1. I don't know what that means. All right. Knowing the Bible is true is very different from knowing what the Bible says. As I was preparing this, I thought, you know what? For me personally, these next few comments are just true. Knowing the Bible is true is very different from knowing what the Bible says, right? We can look at this and we can ask churches all around the city today, all around St. Paul, do you believe the Bible is true? And people are going to say, yes, they believe the Bible is true. But how many of them actually know what it says? There are some places and there are some churches that they don't even encourage their people to read the Bible. So there are quite a few people who do not know what it says, even though they know it's true. And knowing what it says is different than knowing what the Bible teaches. Now, think about this for just a minute, okay? Does the scriptures teach wives submit? Yes, it does. Does it teach then that wives should do everything obediently that their husband asks them to do? No. Brother Al, we're going to have an exorcism here in just a minute, okay? Not so much. So I'm going to politely disagree with Brother Al on that one. Not so much. Okay. Does the scripture teach we're supposed to be obedient to the government? Yes, it does. That being said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they rebel against their government? Yes, they did, because the government asked them to do something contradictory to God's word. And so knowing what it says is different than knowing what it teaches, because sometimes you can take what it says and just take it completely out of context and blow it up. We can do that. So knowing what it says is important, but you must also know what it teaches. What does that mean? And knowing what the Bible teaches is different than living what the Bible teaches. Can I get an amen on that one, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Knowing what it teaches is different than living what it teaches. So conclusion, we're going to kind of jump around here. Here's my conclusion this. So knowing it is true is a starting point. We as a church, we know it's true. We talk about this over and over and over again. The scriptures are true. We know that. Knowing it's true is a starting point, but it is not the end. It is not the finish line. There's a whole lot of gaps in there we got to fill in. And hopefully this series will get us started on that as we move in that direction. All right, so what is doctrine? What exactly is doctrine? Somebody asked you to define the word doctrine. Would you be able to say, yeah, I know what doctrine is. It's a doctor who goes in and does surgeries, right? I don't know. All right, Merriam-Webster. Doctrine is this. A set of ideas or beliefs that are taught or believed to be true. That's doctrine in a nutshell. A set of beliefs or ideas that are taught or believed to be true. Hopefully the same, taught and believed to be true, right? I mean, for some of us, we have that. Now, we understand scripturally, biblically speaking, that not all of us have the ability to teach. Not all of us are going to be up in front preaching. But we can still teach our children. We can still teach those we come in contact with. Just the way we live our life, we can teach what we believe just in the way we live. All right? We can be that to people. But doctrine is a set of ideas or beliefs that are taught or believed to be true. All right, so why is doctrine so important? I know I'm moving quickly, and that's good. You guys should celebrate this because for once, maybe Pastor Barry won't do a 40-minute sermon this morning, right? We pray not. We're going to see how we do on this. Titus 1, 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. You know, there's a lot of doctrine in here. The doctrine of bibliology, which is the study of God's word, we look right here, God who never lies. That impacts that doctrine, doesn't it? That's a basic doctrine how we know the Bible is true. But here's what I want to focus on today, right here. For the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. Paul wrote a book that discussed doctrines. Why? For their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. In order for us to live a life of godliness, we have to know the truth. Doctrine is important because it allows us to know what is true, which then affects how we live. That's what doctrine does. Knowing is half the battle. And if I could add to it, the other half is living it. Now you know knowing is half the battle, and hopefully that'll help us as we live the truth that we learn. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 17, the Awana theme verse of 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. We know the first verse, 15, but we miss 16 and 17, don't we? And I love how he ends there. Their talk will spread like gangrene. That's an infection, isn't it? And how many churches today are being infected by this right now? I mean, it's crazy. What is the statistic? I think I'm under, but I think it was 1,200 churches a month close their doors. And I think that's a little bit low. But that's, I mean, it's huge, the number of churches that close their doors every single month. And this right here is part of the problem. Avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. I'm going to give a brief example of how easy this is. This week, Alex was talking to me at the dinner table. He said, Dad, when are we going to build a gymnasium? I'm like, what gymnasium? I didn't even know what you're talking about, right? Well, aren't we building a gym? No, I know. And so as I was thinking about that, what would have happened had my son Alex gone to one of you guys and say, hey, I hear we're building a gymnasium. My dad says we're going to build a gym. Right? I mean, that is the sort of talk that can – thanks, Janet. That's the sort of talk that gets you in trouble, isn't it? Little things like that. And it was just a slip of the tongue. It wasn't that big of a deal, but it could have been, right? We sit there and think how easily that could have been. How easily little things like that can just throw us off of the real thing that God is doing. And it's happening in churches over and over and over again. And what God wants us to do, he said, rightly handling the word of truth and avoid irreverent babble. And you want to see some irreverent babble. Who was on Facebook at all this week? People who, hey, you know what? They're a Christian. I have no doubt they're a believer. And my goodness, the difference of opinions. Irreverent babble is really what it comes down to. It's really what it comes down to. Is God working? Yes, he is. God has a hand in things. Yes, he does. God wants us to focus on this. That's what God wants us to focus on. Right there. Otherwise, this happens. Lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. And you could see things escalate and escalate. And escalate. The gangrene was kicking in. That's what happens. All right, why is doctrine important? Doctrine does this. Charles Ryrie wrote these things here. He says, doctrine serves as the foundation for the Christian life and the motivation for Christian living. The foundation, the knowledge that we have, and the motivation, that's the application, if you will, for Christian activity. That's what it comes to. Knowledge isn't enough. You must also apply the knowledge you have. We know people who know things, but sometimes you think, you know what? That guy's the smartest guy in the world, but he has zero common sense, right? We know people like that. We do not want a church full of those people. We want people that not just knows, but we also know how to apply it. Only by knowing the truth can we know and counter false teaching in errant living. And that's true. And I'm going to give some examples later on some different things that if you know the truth and you know what's going on, how you can, oh, that doesn't quite make sense what that person is saying. Because here's what the Bible actually teaches, but you have to know. Charles Ryrie writes this in his book, The Practical Guide to Communicating Bible Doctrine, if any of you guys are interested in that. It's a good book to look up a little bit. I was also doing some research. I was reading a lot of commentaries this week. And there was one, you're trying to figure out how people outline this whole thing about why doctrine is important. And then I was on a website called gotquestions.org. And I don't know if you guys are ever interested, but they've got some pretty fun answers sometimes. Really basic, simple, easy to understand answers to some really good questions, actually. Gotquestions.org is the name of that. It's a good evangelical website. But they outlined it like this, and I liked it, so I stole it from them, but I'm crediting them, so it's not stealing, right? All right, let's say yes. Okay, here we go. Bible doctrine teaches us this. The nature and the character of God, the path of salvation through faith, instruction for the church, and God's standard of holiness for our lives. Doctrine teaches us about God. It teaches us to understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Doctrine teaches us that God is a real person. God is real. Doctrine teaches us that we need God because of our own sin problem and how we can take care of that through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Doctrine teaches us that. Doctrine teaches us, it gives us instruction for the church, how we as a church are supposed to act toward one another, act toward the world, how we're supposed to live the God's standard of holiness for our lives. That's what doctrine teaches. So why is doctrine important? Because doctrine affects the way we live. That's why doctrine is important to us. This whole series is very important because of how it can change the way we live our lives. So what? What does this mean? Briefly here, everyone has a doctrinal system. Everyone does. You may not know it, but you have a doctrinal system. You believe something. Maybe you believe that, well, this is God's word, but there are some errors in it, and you got to figure out what the errors are. There are some mistakes. That's a doctrinal system. Some of them in there, well, I don't even think God is real. That's a doctrinal system. Well, the Bible is true, yes, but it's not practical for today's living. That is also a doctrinal system. We all believe something. Whether you believe in creation or evolution, you have a belief. And believe it or not, and as you know, it takes faith to believe both of those. Can I replicate creation? No. Has anybody replicated evolution? No. You can't replicate it. You have to believe something. I choose to believe creation. I choose to believe that there is a God who is over all and has passed down his word for us. And this word is true in its entirety and is still relevant for us today. That's what we as a church believe. That's us. Everyone has a belief system. As we go through this, your belief system might be tweaked a little bit, and that's okay. It's good to grow. My belief system has been tweaked over the years as I've learned more and more and more and understand, well, Pastor, you weren't quite right in this one. And that's okay. That's quite all right. Semantics are important. The words we use affect the meaning we're trying to convey. Think about this for just an example, or for just a moment here. The words we say, they do mean something, don't they? Semantics are very important. You can't say, well, that's just semantics. No, it's not just semantics. Semantics are very important to us. This guy said this, Dr. Basil Jackson. He says, wonderful things in the Bible I see, most of them put there by you and me. That's an old one that's been around for a long time, but you know what? It's true. How else do you explain all these churches who have such different viewpoints on theology? It's because we as people, sometimes we do, we're going to learn about this later, but I'm going to give it a little introduction. Eisegesis and exegesis, all right? No, I'm not going to ask you to spell them. Eisegesis is where you come in and say, this is what I believe, where does the scripture teach it? Exegesis is where, what's the scripture teach so that I know what I can believe? All right? So am I putting my beliefs into the Bible or am I taking my beliefs out of the Bible? Which one is it? And many times we have churches who have a little bit of eisegesis where this is what I believe, therefore scriptures prove it to me. And we proof text. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, most of them put there by you and me. The words we say mean something. And as we think about our Constitution, the words we have in our Constitution, they mean something. The problem is sometimes they mean different things to different people, and you have to figure out what exactly those words mean to them. There's a church in GI that says this. I took it right from their Constitution this week. We believe one receives God's grace by putting trust, faith, in Christ. repenting of sin, confessing Christ, and being baptized by immersion into Christ, but that none of these is sufficient in and of itself for salvation. In other words, you have to have all four of these to be saved. You have to have faith, you have to have confession, you have to have baptism, and you also have to have, what was the other one, repentance. You have to have all four of those to be saved. Now we sit here as a church, and would we see that the scriptures teach that? No, absolutely not. And yet this is what this church in Grand Island is teaching right now. Baptism is necessary for salvation. Repentance is necessary for salvation. Confession is necessary for salvation. That is not what the scriptures teach. And I can show you verse after verse after verse after verse that shows that. Are these things important? Absolutely. And it's interesting, like this word repentance right up here, repenting of sin. The Bible talks about repentance. What does repentance mean? Repentance means turning away. Literally, it's turning away, right? But turning away from what? Is it turning away from sin? In other words, if you're a Christian, you'll never sin again. Some churches teach that. Some do. They say, if you're a Christian, you're not going to sin again. Or if you do sin, it's not going to be a continual sin. In other words, you cannot be a Christian and be addicted to anything. It's impossible. That's what they would teach. For us at Grace Baptist, we teach this. Repentance is the turning away from the fact that I recognize that before I did not need God. I rejected God. And now I am turning away from my rejection of God and placing my faith in God. That's my repentance. A turning away of rejection of Christ and turning to Christ. That's what we believe. But when you see somebody say, hey, you got to repent in order to be saved, well, what exactly do you mean by that? Words are important. Here's another one. This is in St. Paul. We believe every person can have restored fellowship with God through salvation, which is trusting Christ through faith and repentance to be our personal Savior. Faith and something. Scriptures teach faith alone in Christ alone. That's it. There is no faith and. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life. It's not believe and confess. It's not believe and repent. It's not believe and be baptized. It's whoever believes. That's the end. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's belief. It's belief. That's what it takes. It's not faith and. It's not anything. It's just faith. That's it. It's not faith in anything. It's just faith. And these are what churches are teaching. Do we understand now why our constitution, why what we believe is so important? We should be able to see this. In our own area, there are people who are frankly are being misled by the church leadership. And that should break our hearts. But we have to know. Because my influence is limited, but you guys' influence together is huge in this area. And if we know, imagine the teaching that we can do in this community. All right. Moving on. Not all things biblical will be easy to understand. Now, can I get an amen on that one? Absolutely, right? Not all things biblical are easy to understand. Howard Hendricks says this. He says, is it possible to interpret the Bible? Well, of course. But you need to know you will always encounter problems. He wrote a book called Living by the Book. I was looking at that this week, and I love this quote, so I stole it from him. Is it possible to interpret the Bible? Of course. But you need to know you will always encounter problems. Howard Hendricks, brilliant man, okay? This guy was just, he did so much for pastors around the world. And I mean that literally, around the world. But he himself said, he said, I don't understand everything in the Bible. But you know what? I am a finite person with a finite mind trying to understand an infinite God. And it's impossible. So I'm saying that as your pastor, if Howard Hendricks can say that, I get to say it too. So he's going to be my fallback. If you come to me and say, Pastor, I don't understand it, I'm going to get to say to you, I don't either. And that's awesome. And there are some things that we are not fully going to understand. We can still wrestle with it. We can still study through it. But don't get discouraged if you don't understand everything you read. And as we go through this series, don't get discouraged if you don't understand completely what in the world I'm talking about. Because I will tell you, I don't understand completely everything I'm talking about. I don't. And that's the reality. You can't interpret it, but you are going to have problems. Start small and work your way up. What that means is this. If you've never studied the Bible before, and I mean that differently than reading. Well, even reading. Let's start with just a reading. If you've never even read the Bible on a regular basis before, don't get like so many people say, hey, I'm gonna read a chapter a day every single day of the week. I'm going to discourage you from saying that. And yeah, I know it's weird having a pastor say that. Start small. Two or three verses or a paragraph I would start, if you're starting out for the first time, I start in the book of John, the New Testament book of John. And I would just read maybe just a paragraph a day, and only say I'm going to do it for 5 days this week. I'm going to try 5 out of 7 days. I'm going to read a paragraph out of the book of John. Start small. If you have more time, you get engrossed in it, then read a little bit farther. But don't get yourself with high expectations, and pretty soon you crash and burn because you can't meet your own expectations. Start small, work your way up. As we go through this series, we are literally starting small. I'm hopefully going to pick your interest. Maybe some of you will take some notes and go home and study on your own. That's awesome if you do. But we are going to start small and work our way up. So at the end, we can say, now I know, and knowing is half the battle. God, I thank you for this sermon series we're doing today, just to study on the doctrines of the church and why they are important. God, help us as we move on, as we understand the importance of your word and how it applies to our lives and how we can learn about you and the way we should live. We thank you for these words that you gave us, for the truth of your word in the form of the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.